Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We are continuing in our series of looking at John's Gospel, and this time we are in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. As is often the case with Jesus, he uses pictures and illustrations to teach the crowds deep theological truths about who he is and why he came. Through examining these pictures, we can understand more about how to imitate Jesus, to live like him, and to love others like he does. In our passage for this week, Jesus uses three illustrations to speak about himself in comparison with what had been before or those who would try to oppose God's mission. The first illustration is the comparison between the true shepherd of the sheep and the thieves and the robbers, the strangers who would attempt to lead the sheep astray. So I'm going to read from John chapter 10, 1 to 6. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So there have been, throughout history, many people who have professed to be spiritual leaders and the guides that we have all been waiting for. These self-appointed messiahs try to entice us to follow them in order to gain salvation or to gain riches or material wealth or whatever it might be. But like Jesus says, they are not the true shepherd of the sheep. They are thieves and robbers. Sometimes people explicitly state that they are the Messiah and should be followed. But sometimes we can all implicitly imply that we are the saviours, that we can rescue people from their difficult situations. If we are to love people like Jesus does, we are not to claim that we are the shepherds or that we have the answers, but we can point them to the true shepherd of the sheep. Let me tell you a story of my own experience to try and explain what I mean. I wonder if there's anything in the story that you guys might be able to relate to. So when I was younger and part of the church that I grew up in, I was a member of the worship team who helped to lead the musical aspects of the service. And one year we were invited to take charge of the whole carol service and not to just do the music side of things, but to lead every aspect. Now, I was still pretty young, probably about 15 or so, so it felt like a massive honour and a big responsibility. And so we prepared and practiced for weeks and months beforehand. Now the service went really well, and afterwards many people came up to us and congratulated us for how well it went. I found myself basking in their praise and congratulations and was starting to get ahead of myself and, if I'm honest, starting to be a bit prideful, until I overheard another member of the group giving glory to God for his presence and for the success that he ensured. I found myself deflating with a sense of shame that I had been trying to take God's glory for myself instead of pointing people to glorify God with me. It was an important lesson for me, and one that has continued to stick with me, to remind me not to glorify myself but to glorify God. If we are to truly love others, we need to remember that we are not the shepherd. We are not the saviours, the leaders, the spiritual guides that people need. We cannot rescue people from their struggles. We cannot provide them with all they need. Instead, we are to point to the only one who can truly save, lead, and guide, to the only one who can and does rescue, Jesus Christ. When we act as if we are the shepherd, in truth we are thieves and robbers that lead others astray. Jesus is the shepherd who leads us in the right way, and he goes ahead of us as the perfect saviour, guide and example. He never leads us to anywhere that he has not already gone. When David sings about God as the Lord's my shepherd in Psalm 23, he says, he leads me beside quiet waters, and even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Why would we want to pretend to be the shepherd when we have the true shepherd to follow? The second illustration that Jesus uses continues this image of a thief, but this time Jesus pictures himself as the gate. So reading from verses 7 to 10. Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So this part of the passage continues to follow that theme about how Jesus is the only way to be saved. It is only through entering through Jesus that anyone will be safe and find safe pasture. By which he means through believing in him, his sacrifice and his resurrection for our sakes, we receive forgiveness and eternity with him as we are welcomed into God's family. In this section, Jesus explains that those who seek for people to follow them, or as Jesus refers to them, the thieves, are people who come only to steal, kill, and destroy. This is because they attempt to lead people to follow themselves rather than following our true salvation, Jesus. And so they are destroying people's chances to experience the life-giving love of Jesus. As Jesus states, he came that we may have life and have it to the full. So what does that mean for us? How should this influence the way that we live and the way that we love others? Jesus came so that we could have life and have it to the full. And this life is not merely something that we get to experience when we die, but it's something that we can access, at least in part, here and now. Are we living that life, that full life? Do we feel like we are able to declare that we live our lives to the full? Now let me state, I don't mean that we're going out doing crazy things, trying to fulfill a bucket list of desires or following the craze of living my best life by enjoying lots of material things. Neither do I mean that we are pasting on a false appearance that makes it seem like we have perfect lives, while underneath we are truly struggling. Whenever we think of living life to the full, we often conjure up these images of what we imagine the perfect life to be. But that is not the reality that we get to experience. Certainly not while we continue to live in our broken and hurting world. Instead, living life to the full means that we are able to live our lives as intended by God, by trusting in him and depending fully on him. Realising that the best way to live our lives fully is to submit to God. So while we may still have incredibly difficult struggles while we live in this hurting world, and there may be times where we find ourselves walking through the darkest valley, we don't need to fear because God is with us. When we are able to depend on God, our outlook on life changes. No longer is our future in doubt. We can trust God to guide us, even when the path is difficult and we are in the middle of a storm. And this confidence in the midst of struggle is a powerful witness, People want to know how we are able to continue on even when life is hard. And this feels so relevant right now, as we have all experienced some degree of struggle over the last 18, 19 months. We've had the opportunity to communicate to others around us about how God has sustained us through this time and given us the strength to continue. We have the opportunity to invite people to know the fullness of life that God gives us, even when things are tough. And we can be honest about our struggles while also acknowledging our dependence on God and the support we receive from Him that allows us to cope. And it is in showing and demonstrating and explaining these things that we can tell others about how wonderful God is and how much it is important that He is our shepherd. So the third illustration that Jesus uses is a comparison between Himself as the good shepherd and others who are the hired hand. So from chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Whenever I read this passage, I always feel overcome with gratitude and joy at the extent and the depth of love that Jesus has for us. Jesus' love comes from a place of intimate knowledge of every aspect of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows even the parts of us that we ourselves are unaware of. And knowing all of this, He loves us with an unending, sacrificial love. I am the good shepherd, he says, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us so that we could be rescued. Perhaps you'd like to just pause there and remind yourself of God's great love for you. Sometimes it is hard to remember just how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he knows you. But allow this reminder to fill you with joy and wonder at the depth of love God has for you. Sometimes when life is tough, it can be hard to feel God's love. So just take a moment to let your mind repeat these words, to let your heart experience God's love, which is always there, wrapping around you and filling you, even when you don't notice it. This sacrificial love is wonderful and to be truly treasured. But it is also a challenge because we are called to love like Jesus does, to love with his sacrificial love. Jesus is the good shepherd and he calls us to imitate him. He calls for you and me to be good shepherds like he is. This is what love is truly like, what it is supposed to be, the laying down of our lives for others. What kind of love governs your life? What does your love ask of you? What does it look like in your family settings? Whether that's marriage and children, brothers and sisters, or whatever it might look like. What does it look like in your friendships, from the close family-like relationships to those that you're only just getting to know? And what about your acquaintances, neighbours, and even strangers? We are to follow the example of the Good Shepherd rather than that of the hired hand. The hired hand runs away when his life is threatened because he does not care for the sheep, whereas Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. For most of us, we will not be asked to literally sacrifice our lives and die for other people. But do we live lives that are willing to sacrifice things for the sake of others? Are we willing to sacrifice the comfortable lifestyle, the way that we live our lives, if we are called to, if we need to? As an example, I have a good friend who is a doctor who works in hospitals in the maternity wards. So as you can imagine, she's already pretty busy, and she gives much of her life as a sacrifice to help those in need. However, that's not all she does. She has a compassion for those who have had to flee their country and seek asylum and refuge somewhere else. And over the years, she has willingly offered a home for refugees to stay in, to find a safe haven. If I spoke to her about it, she'd always play down the sacrifices she's made. But I know that there have been things that she's had to let go of or sacrifice because of her desire to show love to the lost and the hurting. She doesn't do this for her own glory, but because God has commanded us to love him and love our neighbours. And this is one way she can fulfil those commands. Though she would never say it, she is living out the calling to be a good shepherd to someone else. How might we be called to be good shepherds to people around us? As the good shepherd, Jesus reaches out to his sheep, to those who are already in the sheepfold, and to those who are not. Jesus was referring to the Jewish and the Gentile people, the Jews who are already part of the sheepfold, and the Gentiles who have not yet received the invitation to the full life that Jesus offers. Jesus is still extending this invitation of love, but he now asks us to deliver the message. He asks us to show love, not just to those who are like us, not just to those who have accepted Christ, but to those who haven't, because he cares for them too, and he wants us to love and care for them. How might God be calling you to imitate him and be a good shepherd? And who might he be calling you to be the shepherd to? Questions to think about as we go into our week. And I pray that God will use you for his glory. Amen.